All right. Hey, buddy. You too.
Good day, Dad.
See y'all.
Hey.
Hope you weren't best. Safe and happy. All right. Oh, what a pleasant enough morning.
Oh,
past the second week of February here. Where is it? No. Anyway. Oh, good day. Watching this video by this guy who says, totally against marriage. Doesn't think much of women, apparently. And then he pulls out all these kind of videos from despicable women. Let me tell you, he had one from this Judge Judy situation. Judge Judy's just so, just war. Oh, this woman's behavior. I have a little take on it. But came to the same conclusion. Judge Judy did all that she could to make up for stuff. I had this guy who was obviously the father. They had divorced. Long time ago, two kids in the divorce decree she had filed that she was the plaintiff, irreconcilable differences. She had sued for child support from him for the two children. This is, that's all you need to hear. You decide this guy was the father. You're going to hold him accountable for money. But they went on. This woman told her 6-year-old daughter that this guy maybe wasn't her father. Judge Judy got all off on that whole thing, you know, about how dare you tell a 6-year-old, impressionable 6-year-old child that her father isn't her father. If you had questions, you could have had the paternity test done earlier. I guess she'd accustomed to all kinds of shenanigans going on. So there was the paperwork that really sold it for her. But the fact that she had told her daughter ahead of time that this guy might not be her father was, what kind of put her over the edge. So, she made the woman pay for the paternity test and the time he had to take off from work to get the test taken care of. And you are, I forget the wording she used. But what a horrible woman. it's just as horrible as I think I've ever come across at this course. Wow. Anyway, this all came from trying to watch a little bit of the Ron Paul report. Well, Liberty report. And, you know, compared to a lot of the YouTube recordings that get made, it really smacked of amateur hour. Ron Paul's a great guy. Stand up fella. I like him. I like him a lot. And, you shouldn't videotape this fella too much. You know, because he's just not a beautiful showman. He rambles a bit, I do. And and they had the camera on him when he was trying to figure out what kind of stage direction he was trying to get. So it was a little rough. Easier, far easier to listen to him. I think he does much better on radio, although he does fine as a talking head for studio stuff. You know, if a news outfit wants you to look good, they can do some good editing and can clean it up and make you look good. So, I don't think he does a bad job, he just needs a lot more editing than he gets. Taking him just absolutely live and throwing him out there was kind of rough. It was rough-hewn. And, I guess once you get accustomed to really good editing, really good production, it sometimes gets a little painful to see situations where it's not so good. And that's exactly what these recordings are. You know, I'm just walking to work, and I take pauses. Sometimes I know I'm going to take a lot of pauses. I'm thinking about something. And I know it'll be stated and horrible, so I'll just stop. And you gotta understand, you know, Ron Paul, for being this wonderful libertarian-minded guy, he's more of a money hawk, you know. He's about investments and stuff like that. Well, frankly, one of my other, who I consider to be mentors in classical liberalism, was Harry Brown. He was also a money guy. He made most of his money speculating in gold, as we were coming off of the gold standard. You know, the U.S. government set the price of gold, and when they said we're gonna stop setting the price of gold, he bought up gold. And when it went from $35 an ounce to, what, $800 and a lot. This is, he, he came out like gangbusters. You know, he was good to go. He could do all kinds of things. Lived in Zurich for a while. So he really loved Switzerland. But he couldn't stay. The Swiss have a very, very tight immigration policy. It says you can come and you can visit, you can even live, but you won't ever get citizenship there. They're very... they're very hard when it comes to that. At least as far as I have done any research, and it's been a while. You know, things may have changed. I doubt it. The British Parliament has decided that they don't. Well, there's been a lot of talk about the British Parliament not letting Donald Trump speak to Parliament. So I think that's a foolish thing to do. Says what skin is off your nose? Let somebody speak to your body. You let all kinds of people do it, especially if they were leaders of major countries upon which you depend for your existence. The United States may very well have been a colony of Britain over 200 years ago, but the tables have definitely turned. I don't think Donald Trump is terribly vindictive about it, but maybe he is. Or maybe he should be. London elitists think very highly of themselves. And maybe it's about time to take him down several pegs and say, well, I have to do a thing. Well, I have to do a thing you're talking about. I'm not beholden to you. Heck, we can put Great Britain on the migrant ban if we want to. Just because they have a problem with the American president coming to their country, speaking to their parliament. Well, you know, it's fine. Trust me, he's not going to have that problem going to Russia. I think Russia wouldn't have had a problem with any one of our recent presidents going over there. Now Obama would say, oh no, I can't do that. No way. They're our enemy. At least my political operatives tell me I have to say that. And so I'm gonna do what it says to do. Well, happy day for you. You know, whatever. Because you guys are silly. Anyway. So, that was kind of silly. France is... France is looking like, you know, and then of course the globalists are just apoplectic about France maybe going all nationalist and considering their own countrymen, their own needs before the things. How dare they? The whole point of a country is to put your population ahead of others, not to sell you out to some global entity. It's kind of what happened when they joined the European Union. Just saying, no, we're going to give up sovereignty to this larger group You know, he goes, and now they're saying, you know, you guys want to pull out? And the country might very well vote to pull out. They saw Great Britain do it. Nobody thought that was getting any traction. And it did. Wow. And I did. If you listen to my recordings, you know that I am always for the power resting as close to families as it can. The most important and the central player in life is the family. Individual members of a family should sacrifice to the greater family needs. Any larger abstraction should exist to serve family needs. The family should not be beholden to anything external. It will make such choices as it feels. This is exactly the way that power is supposed to go. There is an intrinsic need in the higher man, requirement in the higher man, to put something else ahead of yourself. That should be family. A man to his wife, a wife to her children, children definitely need to be honorable to their parents. Of course, that behooves parents to behave honorably. Up the hill. Whew. And the wind's kicking up, boy. I feel like the wording of most things to talk about the family are not worded strongly enough. That, you know, they say the family is basic unit in society. We go, I don't think that really explains it. Family life is the basis of society. It's like saying the United States of America, and one forgets there's 50 states. They are not subunits of a federal government. Representatives of the states got together and formed the union. They were by their nature previously independent states, going together for their mutual protection. Doesn't that's the way families should be in relation to their state. State does not dictate what families would do. Anyway, they do. A lot of stuff goes on. Society feels the need to interject. This is essentially problematic at best. Thank you.